The Octagon Art Festival is coming back this weekend after a pandemic hiatus. This will be the 50th anniversary. It's a major art festival, and it will be Sunday, September 26th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Approximately 80 juried artists from around the Midwest will fill downtown Ames. To give you a taste of what you will find at the festival, KHOI's Ursula Rudenberg chatted with Bonnie Ort, one of the artisans who will have a booth.
I'm speaking with Bonnie Ort, who's going to be at the Octagon Arts Festival this coming Sunday. Bonnie, I'm calling you in Haver Hill, Iowa, correct?
Yeah, it's actually pronounced Haverhill.
Haverhill. Mm-hmm. And tell us where Haverhill is.
It is southwest of Marshalltown. It's only about 10 minutes from Marshalltown, so it's a very small, just one of these small Iowa little towns. We're actually about 3 miles southwest of Haverhill.
Well, tell us, for starters, what will you be selling at the Octagon Arts Festival? You are a fiber person.
I make hand-woven rugs, material rugs, and also different wool and fiber rugs from our own animals. We raise alpaca at our house here on our farm, and my daughter and son-in-law raise a couple of heritage breed sheep, the Navajo Churro and the Jacob sheep breeds. And I utilize all of those wools making rugs and hand-spun yarns and also needle felt artwork.
Needle felt artwork is what?
We utilize our wools. After shearing, we go through the cleaning process and the carding process and get the wools ready. I package those. I get some of the wools dyed different colors, and a lot of them are the natural colors. And what we do is, it's a special needle that you can use. It has tiny barbs on the end. You just press down a few strands at a time onto either a wool base or a material base, and you can make pictures. And I also teach classes on how to do this. I do a lot of beginner classes where we just have fun. I kind of show them some little secrets of ways to go about doing this, and it's all in the matter of laying down wools and pressing the wools into the base. And a lot of shading techniques go into this. It's kind of like painting with wool without the paints.
I think
just
that's amazing.
Lay down the different colors and pressing it in.
I think that's amazing. Are these pictures that people frame afterwards, or what is it like? Or is it like a wall hanging, or is it
I go over that too. There's different ways you can frame these, and a lot of times I make pillows. I do the needle felting picture on the material on a pillow, and then sew up the pillow cover. So I do a lot of those. I do a lot of custom pet portraits for people. A lot of different animals.
You make portraits out of the wool?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And can you get a likeness that way?
I do. Yeah, I do. Amazing. a lot of personalized pictures for people. It makes it fun because it's kind of ends up being like a textured picture. You can make it as textured as you want, actually, with the fluffiness of the wool, or you can press it in and make it a very solid, heavier duty type picture, so it can be utilized into a pillow.
And what's this called again?
Needle felting.
Needle felting. Is this a traditional art that has a history in the United States?
It's been around for a while. It's getting more and more common. A lot more people are learning about it. And I primarily do the 2D pictures with the needle felting technique. Some people can make the 3D objects into needle felting. And that's lots of different things you can do with wools.
Okay. And now you're from four generations of people that make make rugs, right?
Yep. My grandmother taught me way back. She used to make lots of material rugs, like called rag rugs, and also jean rugs, which is made from refurbished jeans and weaving them into very sturdy floor rugs. And so I still do quite a few of those. Then we kind of got into the wools and the fiber. Both my parents also wove. And my mom and I learned how to spin wool together few years ago, and we just kind of got more interested in the wool capabilities of spinning and weaving, and then now doing the needle felt artwork.
You will be selling wools at the Octagon Arts Fair as well, right?
Yes, I do package my wools too for other people that would like to utilize them, whether they're spinners that like to hand spin yarn or even just crafters that would need wool for some purpose. Mm-hmm. So I have lots of different packages of wool rovings ready to go. And what we enjoy doing is we're small enough, we can personalize all of our items. We keep track after shearing which animal the fleece was taken off of when shorn, and all during the cleaning and the processing of the wools, I keep track of it. And the final product, we put the photo of the animal on the tag, just who it was from.
I think that's great. I really love that. So we're going to get back to the animals in a minute, but I wanted to ask you first, the wool that you sell and also the rugs, are they natural colors or do you also?
A lot of them are natural colors, but we do a little dyeing here at my home, but we're getting more and more sheep. My daughter and son-in-law raise the sheep at their home, and as their flock grows, it's getting a lot for me to process. So I take a lot of my wools to a local fiber mill by Maxwell. He does a wonderful job, and I tell him what colors I like, and he does a lot of the dyeing there because he's got a better setup for that. So we do have some bright colors, so then I can weave the rugs from that.
Do people buy your wools also to make sweaters?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm certainly looking forward to seeing that wool. That sounds really lovely. I want to talk about the animals. You say that your daughter and her husband have a farm nearby, and it's called Faircloth Farms?
Correct. They raise a couple of heritage breeds, the Jacob sheep and the Navajo churro. They are threatened species, part of the Livestock Conservancy Group, and they just got interested because of the very interesting background of these breeds.
You mentioned the Conservancy Group. That's the Shave 'em to Save 'em, is that right?
Yeah, within that conservancy group, they've established a fun program called Shave 'em to Save 'em. People that are knitters or crocheters or whatever, they can join this. It's kind of like a fun group. They can see how many of the heritage breeds they can utilize and make fun objects out of the wools.
So the saving them refers to preserving heritage
preserving
breeds that
the
are
breed.
Dying
out. Yep. Yep. Uh-huh. Getting more education and knowledge about these certain breeds gets the knowledge out there and helps them expand the breeds themselves here in the United States. Mm-hmm. The Jacob sheep actually originates from the Middle East, and they have a very unique story. The biblical story of Jacob and the spotted sheep is known to be from that Middle East area, and it is this typically a black and white spotted sheep, and that's what these Jacob sheep are. That's where they originate.
The biblical character Jacob had sheep like this?
Yes. It is known that those breeds are still very, very common in that area. Typically, they are black and white spotted. But what's very unique about the Jacob sheep, they can grow anywhere between 2 to 6 horns. Some of them are very massive horns.
Does it all come out from one spot, like an antler? Or do literally different horns come out of different parts of the head of the sheep?
Well, if you have just the two main horns come out through the top, and then they can also grow these lateral horns out of the side. That go
That's wild.
From the ears out. And, just if anybody's interested in that, stop by our booth. We'll love to show you some pictures of the animals.
Are these horns long or are they relatively short?
They come all different kinds. Sometimes they can get very, very long. Sometimes they kind of curl around.
And
they're all different. The females can get the different horns also.
Wow. Are they aggressive animals?
No, that's why my kids decided to focus on this particular breed, because of their mellowness and attitude. They have very good dispositions on a whole, so that makes it easier to raise, especially if there's young kids around, which there are. My grandkids learned at a very young age how to take care of the livestock, and that makes it a little more reassuring. You always have to be careful around animals, but just knowing that they're not a very aggressive animal on a whole is just nice.
You also have the Navajo churro sheep. What is that?
Right.
Are they associated with the Navajo Indians?
I believe they are. This is another breed that's on the threatened list of the Conservancy Group. They come from Southwest United States. They're getting a few more of those into their program, so they do focus on just these two breeds.
So these are literally the animals that you get your wool from, right? You get your wool directly from the animals that you know.
Yes. On shearing day, we bag up each fleece, put their names on the bag, and we keep track of whose is whose all the way through the washing and the weaving process. So we try to customize it and keep each individual sheep's picture on the label of the finished product.
And where does the weaving happen?
at my house. I have a studio at my house where I weave and spin, and we do our felting classes here. So
you have looms in your house?
Right now I have 3 big floor looms all set up to do different weaving patterns.
It's kind of a complete world where you have the animals who are living on the farm and the alpaca are living with you. How many alpaca do you have?
I have 4 alpaca.
Uh-huh. Are they nice animals?
They're on a whole very easy keepers, but there are some health maintenance things you need to do to keep them in good health. And I took an alpaca management class before we even got into this, and I'd advise anyone to do that because they don't originate from the United States. So.
Okay, so you've got the Jacob sheep and the Navajo Churro sheep on your daughter's farm, and then you have the alpaca, and you have the looms in your house, and a place for you to do spinning, and then an area where people come for classes.
I also work with llama fiber. I have a friend that raises llamas, and I get her fleeces after she shears them. So we work primarily with those 3 species of wool, the llama, the alpaca, and the sheep's wool. And when I package my wools for needle felting, I'll put bits of each species fiber in the sample packs of fiber for people. And each one felts differently and has its own felting capabilities. It's just neat to feel the different wools, try to educate people and learning the difference about each type.
It's a beautiful description of this process that you have of being connected to what you're making from the beginning until the end.
A lot of hard work all the time, but this is fun. I really enjoy doing this. I enjoy it.
People that come to your classes, where do they come from?
We've had people come from quite a ways. Missouri, we've had them from Minnesota, and I've had a lot of people come from the Des Moines, Waukee area, from Winterset area. I've had people ranging from 7 years old to 90 years old coming to these classes. And you don't have to have an artistic background. It's just fun to do, and everybody's own personality can come out in this artwork.
A class that you take for a day, right?
2 to 3 hours is the advertised length of this class. But a lot of people stay longer, and we just kind of have fun with it. So,
that's very nice. Okay, and now you are coming to Ames on Sunday. You've been to the Octagon Art Festival before.
We've been there for quite a few years now, and we enjoy it. We get a lot of people that come by each year, kind of a repeat people that stop by and just chat. And it's interesting, and it's fun just to tell people about how we make these things and just to kind of educate people in the fiber world, in the wool, what all the wools can be used for.
And you'll have pictures of the Jacob sheep and the Navajo Churro sheep there, right, to see?
Yes, we will.
That's what I want to see.
Okay.
So you're going to, and it's going to be a reunion because obviously we've all been separated from each other for a while. So this is a joyful reunion, hopefully, with you and the people that appreciate your work. And what booth are you going to be at?
We are at booth 60.
Booth 60.
Toward the west end of the street.
Well, I've been speaking with Bonnie Ort, and thank you, Bonnie, for taking a few minutes to really paint this amazing story of what you're doing in Haverhill, Iowa, and your connection to the animals and to the craft and to sharing it with people, right?
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed doing this.
As a craftsperson and an artist who has really made this your life, what do you say to the person who is inspired by what you're doing?
I guess just go for your dreams. Never too old to learn something new. I found that out. And if something interests you, just learn it and just keep trying.
I love that. Thank you so much. Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. If you'd like to find out more about Faircloth Farms and Bonnie Ort's work, or if you'd just like to see the Jacob sheep, you can visit the website at homespunfamily.com. That's homespunfamily.com.
Bye-bye.
Bonnie Ort is one of the artists who is going to be at the Octagon Arts Festival, which is going to be happening again after a pandemic hiatus, the Octagon Arts Festival on Sunday, September 26th. In downtown Ames, and it'll be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It will be on Main Street and Douglas Avenue, and there are going to be all sorts of different artisans showing their work, including painting, ceramics, wood, drawing, glass, fiber, mixed media, metal, jewelry, sculpture. Somebody's doing henna, printmaking, photography, and much, much more. And at the art festival this Sunday, as always, there'll be food trucks and live bands and performing arts at the festival, including Orchesis One, which is contemporary dance, Drama Kings, which is jazz and blues, Vita Sisters, Robert Thomas Dance Center Dancers, and the Eco Theater Lab. This year, a Chalk the Block contest is going to be introduced to the festival by the Ames Public Arts Commission. This is a chalk art contest located at Burnett Avenue, just north of Tom Evans Park. It will begin at 10 a.m. The contest is open to everyone, and there'll be three categories: youth, ages 12 and younger, teens, ages 13 to 17, and adults, ages 18 and older. Chalk will be provided to the first 25 people to register. Everybody else will need to provide their own chalk. Soft pastels or other non-permanent medium that will wash away with the rain are also options that can be used. Contestants will have a 4 foot by 4 foot square space in which to create their chalk drawings, and judging will be at 2 p.m. Register for the contest by emailing publicartcommission@cityofames.org. That's publicartcommission@cityofames.org with your name, age group, address, phone number, and email address. Same-day registration may be possible if space is available. For more information about the Octagon Art Festival, including a festival map, live entertainment acts, and lists of participating artists, you can visit octagonarts.org. That's octagonarts.org. Also, the festival organizers are low on volunteers, so if you can help them out, please contact the Octagon. It will be a fun way to spend a day in beautiful weather celebrating the wonder of art. So, looks like it's going to be a beautiful day for the annual Octagon Arts Festival here in downtown Ames. I've been Ursula Rudenberg reporting, daughter of the woman who started the Octagon Arts Festival. My beautiful mother, Veronica Rudenberg, started this festival, and today it has grown into the 50th annual Octagon Arts Festival. So there you go, Mom, 50 years. Look what you started. Back to you, Susan.